Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome to Sports Day here on this Wednesday. Nice to have your company, the Hot Topic, Polaris Off-Road Australia. Follow on Instagram today. Hayes, the teams are in for Thursday night footy.
They are, and let's start with the West Coast Eagles. Dom Sheed, the star, returns. Luke Foley will make his debut. He's 188 centimetres. He's a midfielder. Pick 31 in the national draft. Comes from Subiaco, so well done and good luck. Brendan Archie returns from his injury. And Bailey Williams, the big man, the flying machine, he returns. McGovern out injured, we know, with his hamstring. Branda O'Neill and Hamish Brayshaw, they've all been omitted. And for North Melbourne, Sam Durden and Tom Murphy come in. Mason Wood omitted again. I think it's nearly career over for him. And Aiden Boner goes out injured. Should be easy, Carl, if they play their best team, which it looks like they're doing. But a big call there on Jared Brandy. Do you think he's a player that could look elsewhere next year? He hasn't had too much opportunity, the West Coast Eagles.
No, well, and being out of Geelong, he may well be in a situation where he wants to go home. But look, the Eagles have always had a fair bit of tough love. I mean, you think back to Darren Glass and blokes like Brad Shepherd and even now Liam Duggan and Tom Cole. They've never been guaranteed a spot. Jake Waterman, who's had to fight his way back into the side, in and out of the side. He's still only young, Hayes. He's a maturing, developing player. And look, I think if he's prepared to bide his time, there'll be opportunity, because blokes like Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling, for that matter, aren't going to be around forever. I think he can play key forward, and I think you're of the view he can probably play key back.
Well, that's where I've seen him play his best footy, in the waffle, but we wait to find out whether he's a forward, a midfielder and a backman. But it's not good news, Carl, for Elliot Yeo. Osteitis pubis continues to haunt him, and I don't expect him to play a part at all in the finals.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens there too, mate. Did you know that Polaris has sold over 75,000 off-road vehicles in Australia? Tom Morris will join us next from Fox Sports.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and we are joined by journalist for Fox Sports, Tom Morris, here on Sports Day. Now, Tom, you've been able to, I suppose, be rubbing shoulders with a lot of the heavyweights in the competition, and maybe you got your finger on the pulse and a few of the issues that we'd like to talk about tonight, grand final, finals, timing. How's it been in the hub, and what's the interaction been like between other stakeholders in the game?
I just missed the last bit of that. I don't know what. Maybe it's because I'm so far away that the connection isn't great. I think you were asking about how it was in the hub and what are the key stakeholders saying.
Yeah, and just your connection with them, the interaction that you've been able to have, I suppose, being locked in that hub environment together.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it's from a journalist's perspective, the best thing you can have is to get to know other people on a personal level, and I guess and they can see that you're a normal person, hopefully, and you can see that they're normal people. And, you know, when you're kicking the footy or kicking the soccer ball around with list managers and CEOs and presidents and Andrew Dillon and Gillon McLachlan, it's actually pretty surreal. But it just shows that the AFL footy industry is full of good people. There are lots of families there. It was a great initiative from the AFL. I'm not just saying that. I mean, they poured so much money and time into 370-odd people going away to a transition hub in Queensland. The regulations were tight. You'd get random calls from the Queensland health authorities. You'd have to fill out something every day. And then you'd walk to breakfast and you'd see CEOs and presidents and list managers and recruiters and all mingling amongst each other, and some journalists as well. So it was a fantastic experience personally. And I think the AFL deserves all the credit that they may not be getting, because, I mean, there's been some naysayers for it. Why these people are allowed into Queensland and others aren't. But the regulations that were in place, they were so strict, you just can't fault them.
Tom, what can you tell us about the finals? Because you have been talking to the heavyweights, of course, information coming out around the Perth and the West Coast Eagles home final if they do finish in fifth position. A mandatory 7-day quarantine period looks like it'll put an end to their hopes of further finals here in the West.
Yeah, that's right. So week one of finals at most for West Coast if they finish fifth or sixth, which is disappointing for the Eagles. I think the AFL, well, I mean, I haven't spoken to the WA government, but I think the AFL has been doing everything it can to try to make it as fair as possible for everyone, which is very hard in this sort of climate and these conditions. But probably one small saving grace is there was a feeling a few weeks ago that if, say, a West Coast or, let's say, a Richmond was playing a semi-final or a prelim final against Brisbane, that they would still have to play it in Queensland because that's where they would be. But that's not the case. So that the higher ranked club will be able to pick the venue where they want to be, where they want to play. So you'd imagine if West Coast was a higher ranked team in any of the first 3 weeks of finals, that they would play away from, let's say, the Gabba if they're playing against Brisbane. So, or away from the Adelaide Oval if they're playing against Port Adelaide, which would be unlikely given where the latter situation is. So it's not ideal for the Eagles. I'm sure it's not going to be ideal for other teams as well, but given that Brisbane have spent most of the season at home. But I think the AFL has done a reasonable job making the best of a really awkward situation. I just think that the 7-day quarantine, you know, that makes sense. That's what Mark McGuinness, the Premier, has been really big on. But it would be good if they could find a way, if West Coast win, and if they were going to finish high, to play the second week of finals. But it doesn't look like it's going to matter too much, given it's more than likely West Coast will finish fifth or sixth at this stage. I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but that's what it looks like.
Tom Morris stays with us after this for the all-new Kia Sorento, which has landed.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
And we are talking to journalist Tom Morris from Fox Sports. Hayes?
What about the Brownlow Medal? What can you tell us about the format and the time we're about to embark on the award season?
Yeah, good question. It was originally going to be a hybrid event where you'd have probably 16 clubs being able to go to, and their players being able to go to a function room, socially distant, and then the two clubs that were playing in the grand final on the following Saturday wouldn't go. They would be on Zoom or on Skype. And it would be held on the Sunday night before the grand final, so 6 days out from the grand final. But that's now changed. It looks as if it's going to be an event that is held purely on Zoom and online, which is a shame in some respects, but I think the AFL is just taking no chances whatsoever. So whoever wins this year's Brownlow Medal, we expect it to be Lachie Neale at this stage. It's going to be a really weird event, but I guess it's better having something than nothing. But I think the AFL, more for the optics than anything, doesn't want to be taking any chances with lots of people in the one room.
Now, you've been talking to the list managers. You just mentioned that. We heard today that Cade Simpson, the champion, is departing the Carlton Football Club. There's another champion, and a decision needs to be made on him. He wants answers sooner rather than later. Eddie Betts, he's been so good for a long time. Do you have a feeling about how this might play out in the coming days?
The feeling I have, and this is not rock solid, but the feeling I have is that Carlton would prefer him to retire, but they're trying to do it in the most respectful way possible. I think Cade Simpson, for the last few weeks, speaking to some people today, has been resigned to the fact that this year would be his last, and it's just taken a while to come to terms with that. I think Eddie really wants to play on. I think he feels like he's got another year in him. The stats and probably his lack of influence on many games this year probably flies in the face of that. Also, the fact that Carlton might not have room in their best 22 for him next year. But I just get the feeling they're trying to do this the most delicate way possible. He's a fan favourite. If he is done at the end of the year, I would be surprised if we didn't know before the game on the week, Carlton's game on the weekend. I still think he deserves a farewell game. I still think he'd like a farewell game. But it's a really delicate situation, potentially more delicate than any other older player at any club, given what Eddie Betts has given to the competition and what he's given to Carlton in two separate stints.
Tom Bell Chambers retired today as well. Bombers fans, 136 games, 31. Injured only 7 games this year. But I've got to ask you this, Tom. What's going on at GWS? Aidan Corr's already informed the club he's going. Jeremy Cameron, I'm told, is going to follow this week. He's already checked out. If you have a look at the way he's playing. Zach Williams is
yet to commit. You reckon Cameron's going there?
Absolutely, 100%, mate. He is on the caboose following Aidan Corr, I reckon. Zach Williams is yet to commit. Harry Perryman, Jeremy Finlayson, who they dropped a couple of times this year, is also yet to renew his contract at GWS. They've had a paltry end of the season. They dropped their skipper last week, which didn't help them. They still played ordinary footy. He's only 26 years of age. Maybe he should get out now as well.
Well, he's got a $7 million or $6.5 million deal over 7 years. I mean, Tim Canelio's situation is just the cherry on top of a terrible year for the Giants. I think most people expected them to be top two, maybe top four at worst. They're probably not going to play any finals at all. And the three players you missed there as well are the three draftees who were taken in the top 22 picks in 2018, Jackson Hatley, Jai Caldwell, and Xavier O'Halloran. Now, none of those three have re-signed either. So imagine, what are the optics like if they lose Cameron and or Williams, maybe a Perryman or a Finlayson, and then three draftees, highly rated draftees, from less than 2 years ago. I don't know what's going on there, but They talk about how they've got a great record in retaining players. They clearly have a record in retaining some players, but they've lost a lot of players as well. I mean, don't forget that they lost Dylan Sheil, and one of the draft picks they got for Dylan Sheil was to pick up Jai Caldwell. Now, Caldwell's really highly rated. The Saints like him among other clubs, but he hasn't re-signed yet. Imagine if they lost Caldwell now. Then they can't continue to lose good players, get draft picks, and then lose those draft picks a couple of years later. It's a cycle that just keeps on giving every second or third year, and it's not good for the club. It's not good for them. In many ways, they're a victim of their own concessions. They've had too much talent, and they haven't won that flag. But they somehow need to break this cycle. I don't have an answer, but that's seven players you've just mentioned, and eight, including Aiden Corr. I'd be surprised if any more than two or three stayed at the club next year, given what we're hearing now. Once you don't sign by this time of the year, then clubs think they're a real chance to get you.
Tom Morris there for the all-new Kia Sorento, which has landed. Brent Sheridan will take us inside country footy next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's now time to catch up with Brent Sheridan. He is our country football expert. He goes to all parts of Western Australia. How are you going, Brent?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks, Hayes. Thanks for having me, mate.
No worries, mate. Always a pleasure. And you have been doing a lot of travelling. Any highlights that you want to mention off the top?
Grand final time in country footy at the moment. So everyone loves a good grand final story. Probably a throwback a couple of weeks ago will be pretty hard to top for this season. And if we get across the line with a better story, it'd be quite remarkable. But down in Ongarup, Noongarup managed to claim the Ongarup Football Association Premiership following a Tim House masterclass. The Bulldogs full forward bag, 10 goals straight in the second half as his side came back from a 5-goal halftime deficit, I should say, to run out 55-point winners. So Tim House might be a familiar name for a few listeners. He spent a number of seasons on Geelong's list before returning back to his family farm down there in Noongarup. And it broke, the win actually broke Boxwood Hill's quest for a hat-trick of premierships down there. But the Bombers managed to get the chocolates in the reserves while Noongarup scored the points in the juniors.
He wouldn't have gone without a drink that night. Well done to Tim House. Let's take a look at North Midlands. What's going on there?
Yeah, Morrow will claim the 2020 premiership up there, Hayes, in the grand final held at Three Springs. They claimed a 4-goal win against previously undefeated Mininyu there. So the Bulldogs unfortunately lost the one that matters. But Henry Little was unstoppable up forward. He bagged four majors for the victors, while big man Brent Payne won the Jim Molloy medal. His best of field for the Tigers in what was their second flag in 3 years. The one positive note for the Bulldogs, though, was their prime mover in Clint Shivers won the league's MVP in what has been a pretty stop-start season up there.
Well done to all of those players. Let's move on to East Kimberley.
Yeah, the Halls Creek Hawks made it back-to-back premierships up there, Hayes. They claimed the 2020 silverware in a thrilling 2-goal win. And it might take a bit to get this name out there, over the Kururungu Roos. quite a bit of a mouthful, that one. But, yeah, the Hawks held sway for the majority of the game, up by 16 points at the main break, and, yeah, managed to run out 12-point victors in the end up there in the East Kimberley in what was quite warm conditions.
What about what's going on with a lot of the academies of the AFL clubs? And the Kimberley is, of course, part of the Fremantle zone. Do you expect many changes to happen if the AFL do cut this program?
It's a little bit unknown at the moment, Hayes. Obviously, West Coast and Fremantle, I'd imagine, would be quite lucky, and they do such great service to WA football, given that all of our regions around WA are separated into their next generation academies. To date, we've seen a number of players, Jared Cameron, obviously Jason Carter previously, and a couple of other players down there at Fremantle, Liam Henry, that have come through that system and managed to get onto our WA AFL list. It'll be a shame if it falls by the wayside as part of the restructure, but given the service that those two clubs provide, I'm hopeful that it's created a bit of a legacy that those players still have an avenue through to the main competition.
Before we let you go, what can we look forward to this weekend? Some big grand finals coming up.
Yeah, big grand finals around the traps out there in Narrabeen. The Eastern District's grand final sees Hyde and Kalgarran against the Southern Cross Bombers. The Saints have been undefeated all year, so they go in as deserving favourites. But all of those out there this weekend, I reckon, can see some brilliant footy. The prelim final last week was a stark contrast to what we see on the telly every week. It was 16 goals apiece and a five-point margin in the end as Southern Cross got over the line at Coolangondinnen. So it should be a great grand final out there. Down in Esperance, we have the powerhouse of the competition in the Esperance Bulldogs up against Ports. Importantly for the local public, it's free entry down there thanks to the local council and a couple of big sponsors to the Esperance District Football League. So great work to getting that across the line. And Esperance probably enter favourites. They had a comfortable win over Ports in the second semi. But I'm sure the Ports, who have been starved for success, will be keen to topple the tables there. And up a great Southern out at Pingerley on Sunday. Seven teams across their eight clubs are actually represented across the four grades. So it should be a massive day out there at the new Pingerley Sporting Complex. Wickerpin and Williams in the league grand final. There was only 2 points in the second semi, so I think everybody's anticipating another ripping contest to finish off the Upper Great Southern football season.
Good luck to all of those clubs. Thanks, Brent.
Thanks, Abe.
Brent Sheridan there. Boost your sales with Australian-made logo, australianmade.com.au/apply.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get straight into our giant performance of the day because I think a big one is coming up. Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you and we're joined by William Rollo, who is an open water swimmer. He's very good at it and he's got a big event coming up. How are you going, William?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're going very well, mate. Tell us how the year's been for you with this different world that we live in with COVID. No doubt it's had an effect on your training.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, swimming is quite low on the spectrum and in terms of the world's issues at the moment. But, you know, my world personally got rocked. We had a big calendar plan to go race over in Argentina and Italy and Macedonia. But obviously with no international travel, that all got changed. And then, of course, with no training as well, you know, it's been a self-defining year.
So you've got a big event coming up. You're fit and ready for us. And tell us a bit about that event.
Yeah, so that's right. The first round of the Swimming WA Open Water Series is set to take place up in Karratha. It's going to be called the Yarri Burrup Classic, presented by the Pilbara. So, yeah, really looking forward to that race. And like I said, the first race of coronavirus, so just keen to get back in the swing of things.
So what sort of races has this event been able to draw? Some of the bigger names from around Australia or mainly from WA?
So obviously with our borders still closed, not many of the highly ranked Australians in other states have been able to come over. But there's about eight local Perth guys that are heading up to Karratha to race in that one. And all eight of them are all looking to qualify for that Tokyo 21 spot next year. So it should be a great race and exposing the city of Karratha to what open water swimming at elite level is about.
It is a great spot. Saturday, 3rd of October at Hurston's Cove, Karratha. Distances range from 200 metres up to 5 kilometres. And you've done this event before, I believe?
I've never actually raced in Karratha, but... you know, I've raced in Exmouth and I've raced in Broome, so in the middle. So, you know, in Broome, we were watching out for crocodiles, and in Exmouth, we were watching out for tiger sharks. So, hopefully, both of those guys will be leaving us alone and we'll be able to enjoy a closer swim and hear some stories.
That'll be nice. Maybe to increase your chances of not being taken, you want to get more and more people there. How can people get involved, and is this open to everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. It's open to everybody. There's actually a. If you visit the Open Water Swimming WA website, you'll be able to register. It's a pretty fair price event, and you know we've already got 30 or so Perth people heading up to Karratha. There's actually more Perth locals racing than Karratha locals at the moment. So hopefully we can keep some more people heading up that way, enjoying everything that WA has to provide. It's being as we're not allowed to go out of WA and out of the country, get up to Karratha, wander out yonder, as Tourism WA would like us to say, and enjoy everything Open Water Series has to provide.
Well, thanks, William, for joining us. All the best in that event, and it sounds like an absolute beauty. We'll go through more of the details after you jump off.
Cheers, guys.
William Rollo there. The details, Saturday, 3rd of October at Hurston's Cove, Karratha. Distances from 200 metres up to 5 kilometres. Everybody can get involved. Make sure you register at openwaterswimming.com.au, and it's presented by Yarra Pilbara and the City of Karratha. Should be a beauty. All for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. And make sure you stick to your team's game plan when working around power. Visit westernpower.com.au for more information. Stay with us. News headlines next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
And we finish off with the daily roundup, the news headlines, car sales. We love cars. Sean Ryan, umpire, 8 grand finals, sensational career. He made his debut in 2003, 346 AFL matches, 38 finals, and All-Australian in 2010, and last season in 2019, will retire at the end of the season. So well done to Sean Ryan and what has been a wonderful career, Hayes.
Yeah, Jeremy Finlayson has recommitted to the Giants. There'll be a few that will leave the Giants, but that is positive for him and the club, signed on until the year 2023. It's a long contract, Carl, given he's been out of the team at times.
Yeah, it is a long contract, and I'm surprised that it is for that long. But anyway, nothing really surprised me any more, mate. Western Force have signed their skipper, Ian Pryde, to a new 2-year deal. This is probably more realistic. 71 matches so far for our Force. He joined in 2014. He's been their skipper since 2018. He's been a friend to our program, so be nice to have a yak to him in the not-too-distant future as well. And the third ODI tonight, Hayes, at Old Trafford, just getting underway. Australia against England. Last game we capitulated, lost 8-63. So let's hope that the boys can reign supreme tonight. And then they return to Adelaide, those that are heading back to Australia. And the others are on the same plane as the English players to Dubai for the IPL. So nothing stops there for those involved in world cricket. For car sales, Australia's number one for cars. That's all we've got time for. We'll see you again soon.